Awesome. A snapshot of what New City Kids does. And right now, to share with us more about New City, would you welcome to the stage with me Sean Hopkins, the director of New City Kids. Sean, it's great to have you here today. I'm going to let you take it away, okay?
No, thank you so much. I just want to thank again, Pastor Wayne, for having us here today. I'm going to take a moment. Can we just give another round of applause for this worship team? Because I don't know about you, but when I was 14 years old, I would not be brave enough to stand in front of a group of people and share, and they do that every single day, and that's something at New City Kids that we're really about. We're just about partnering with youth in our community so that they can live out the greatness that's in them. Now, I'm going to take a moment. It is very dark where you all are and very bright here, so I'm going to ask you all to make a bit of noise here. First, if you have ever heard of New City Kids before this Sunday, can you like clap or whoop or something? Okay. All right. So we're amongst friends. This is great. Now let me ask another question. Have you come on a Saturday, put on some gloves, gotten dirty, cleaning or scrubbing or doing something at New City Kids? If you have before, can you make a little noise for Volunteer Day? Okay. All right. So, you know, the history of us partnering together with Downtown Community has been long and great. And today I just have a couple minutes to share some of the wonderful things that have been happening at New City Kids. I think there's some slides, hopefully, maybe. Look at that. Okay, we can go to the next one, though. That's our cute little kid that's up there. So first, last year, we graduated 29 seniors, which is our largest graduating class ever. That's terrific, and all of them graduated high school. They've all gone to college. One, I think, went to the military. But New City Kids, we just have a great track record and history of partnering with youth. Not once issues come up, but we start working with them when they're very young. Just this week, actually, on Friday, we took a bunch of middle schoolers to college visits from all three of our sites. We truly believe that it's got to start early, and we believe that it's not dependent on us, but we're thankful that God helps us to partner with them so that they can realize that there's a great plan for them in the future. Thanks. Can you go to the next one? Over 200 kids. Now, I have to be honest, I was kind of conservative in this number, because if anybody ever looks and says, Sean, prove it, I want to make sure that we like under-promise but over-perform, right? So our average daily attendance, we have three sites in Jersey City. We own a building in Fairmont, which is one of our biggest, and we're excited about it. But also, last year we got to work with one of the Catholic schools in Greenville, and so we started a music program there. And so each day we have almost 200 kids on average that come and they get to partner and be part of our after-school center where they learn about Christ, they get homework help, they learn how to play the drums and keys, and it's all being led by wonderful seniors like you see right here, seniors, juniors, freshmen, sophomores. They come together and they step out and they go, you know what, I'm willing to take that responsibility. Because at New City Kids, it's not the idea that at some point in the future you are going to change the world, but it's literally right now God needs you, the city needs you, go change the world today. And so you see these youth doing that. Thanks. Therapeutic art program. So I slipped this one in. This is because this is something that I'm very excited about. In the past, you know, New City Kids, we're going to talk about, we've been around for quite a while, and we've really done well when it comes to teaching kids about music. We've done really well when it's about teaching them about Jesus. We've done really well, and it's about getting them to college. But one thing that we realized was after, you know, the pandemic that happened, there were a lot of needs from our kids, not just academically, but emotionally and psychologically. And so we were seeing this, and it's, what do we do about it? So 2 years ago, I challenged a couple of people on our staff to start pushing that. And so we started what we call a therapeutic art class. And so this art class was a chance for kids to draw, paint, express themselves in this way, which is terrific. But also we brought somebody on staff that could help them also express their feelings. Because after what happened, I know I have a lot of feelings. And the kids did too. And so we started with just at one of our sites at Lafayette, and it went really well. And I'm excited that this year we have it at all three of our sites. So we have three sites where kids are getting to both express themselves in healthy ways, also get heard and seen, because I think that's something that's extremely important with our youth today. And so our hope is that it continues to grow and become something that's impactful for all of our kids in our community. next, construction of the Rubing Center. Now, some of you all were there last year with us. You were cutting our grass. You were cleaning up because it was a mess. So the Rubing Center for Youth Development, it's a former bank, and it was donated to us, which is a huge blessing. The fact that someone said, hey, I want to do good in the community, I'd like to give you a bank, is terrific. However, it is a bank. I mean, it had like teller windows, everything. It was a bank. And so the idea is like, what does God want us to do with this bank? So we put our heads together. We started dreaming. We started planning. I'm happy to say right now, if you went there, it is a complete and utter mess because it's a construction site, which is a good thing, right? Like you'll go and there's a huge hole in the middle of the floor where they're going to be putting an elevator. All the walls have been torn down and we're starting to put in just the, you know, here's where this room's going to be. There's a lot of caution tape and things like that. But we're excited that we've moved forward. We got an okay from the city. All the papers have been signed, which if you know Jersey City is very, very complicated. But God has really shown his favor. And hopefully, you know, I'll be able to come back in like February or something like that and talk to you all about all the new program that we have going on there. Okay, these are a lot of different pictures. And the reason I have so many on this page is because New City Kids is turning 30 years old. And this represents 30 years of making an impact in the city. Yes, I think that's something worth clapping about. And so this has been 30 years of partnering with the youth of Jersey City. It's been 30 years of running summer camps. It's been 30 years of kids' church. It's been 30 years of really loving kids for change and seeing the greatness that God has put there. And I think, you know, we're always looking to the future. We're always, hey, what's the new exciting thing? But I also think it's important for us to stop and take a moment and just celebrate the goodness that God has shown us day after day and youth after youth in our city. So we're thankful for that. And with that, you cannot have a birthday without a birthday party. At least I can't. So I just wanted to take a moment and share with you all about a birthday party that New City Kids is having. It's going to be on November, I love that little background, on November 14th. It's going to be at The View, which is in Lincoln Park. So it's close. And it's going to be a chance for us to look back to, we're going to have the founders there and just look back about where New City Kids started. Talk about the lives. You'll get to hear some great stories of lives that have been impacted. But also it's going to be a chance to look to the future and talk about what is New City Kids going to look like 30 years from now. Because my faith and belief says that 30 years from now, New City Kids is going to be bigger and stronger and better and still impacting youth all over, hopefully the world at that point. So I just want to take a moment and invite you all to that birthday party. The information is here, but we also have a table out there where we can share with you all details, help you get your tickets, things like that. Again, I just want to thank you all. This church has had an impact on us, not just in one aspect of what we do at New City Kids, but in all of it. Again, everything from helping us to get kids to college to making sure that the place is clean and safe for when kids come. So I want to thank you all for that partnership. I want to thank, again, Pastor Wayne just for how he's been a cheerleader for New City Kids because it's important work, and we can't do this work without partnering with the community. So thank you all for that. I am now going to stop talking, and I'm going to turn it back over to our worship. So first, I want to thank Greg for joining us. But Greg, can you take a minute and just share with everyone who you are?
Yeah, so hello, I'm Greg Nelson. I am the marketing and communications coordinator for New City Kids. What's very interesting about myself is that I am someone who's been a part of every iteration of New City Kids. So New City Kids has been around for 30 years. I've been around for all 30 years, and I'm 32. So yeah, it's amazing to be here with you guys today and proud to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And so this year we have the theme of restoration at New City Kids. And one of the aspects is looking at how New City Kids has been working with God to restore the community around New City Kids and Jersey City in general. Can you just share a little bit about how New City Kids was able to impact you?
Yeah, so I'm from Jersey City, and I grew up right in Greenville. And growing up wasn't easy, for sure. Neither one of my parents were present for various reasons. And because of New City Kids, you know how people say a place saved their life? I am a testament to that. New City Kids definitely did save my life in the sense of the past, the founders, Pastor Trevor and Pastor Linda, they were the ones who, they were the first people to step up when my parents weren't able to. So from a personal standpoint, of course, they were the ones who, in a sense, you know, kind of helped raise me and everything like that. But also just giving me the opportunity to learn about different, talents that I have, like, I play drums. I do, of course, the media and stuff for New City Kids. And then also just getting a chance to go off to college, teaching me about college, teaching me about what's more, that there is more for me than what Jersey City has offered or said to me. And as far as, like, restoring me, restoring my community and my family, my brother also is an alumni of New City Kids, and he was someone who came through the program and went off to college through the college of, well, it wasn't the college and readiness program at the time, but through New City helped him as well go off to William Patterson. And when you talk about the word restoration, it's because of New City Kids that now I have the opportunity to pass down a lot of these values to, like, my child, my daughter, where I get to show her, like, oh, there's more to life than whatever someone is telling you or whatever the world is telling you. You can be whatever you want to be. And I think that's the biggest thing that New City Kids has provided for me in the sense of, like, restoring my community, restoring my family.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And I know you didn't just take all that you had learned and then kept it to yourself, but can you share a little bit about the impact you are and are trying to make in your community now and just maybe ways that New City Kids help prepare you for that?
Absolutely. So when I was a teenager here at New City, I was a drum teacher, and I love me some drums. Oh, I love teaching too. And from just being a drum teacher, you learn that it's more about just teaching an instrument. It's about being a mentor and having people look up to you daily. And I think someone that I can accurately point to was he's not a kid no more, but this guy named Derek James. He's like a little brother to me. He was one of my students, and now he is he's gone to college, went off to Rider, graduated, is doing very well for himself. But we still keep in contact, and we have conversations all the time about just the things that that I was able to impress upon him as an older brother or mentor to him. And I think when you think about, like I said, just being in the classroom every day, having that responsibility, you learn that you learn what responsibility really is, and what does that mean, not just for yourself, but for the people that's coming up behind you, for the people that's looking up to you. And I try to carry that with me every day, no matter what I do. So even like how you guys, how these teens here are on the worship team, I was on a worship team as well when I was at New City, and now I'm leading worship. Well, I'm not leading worship today because I'm here, but I lead worship at my church as well as the music director, and just do various things in life where I actually got my start here, right here at New City. So,
yeah, that's great. And then last thing, can you just share a little about how God has been working in you, whether it be in your time in New City Kids or now, but how has God been working with you to help you make that impact?
Ooh, good question. God is always working. He's always at work. Whether it's the personal hardships that you face, and, well, speaking for myself, like personal hardships that I may face, it's a comfort to know that he has my back, right? The way that he's working through me is just continually putting me in positions of leadership, I would say. Continually putting me in positions where I can't just think about Greg. I have to think about the Derricks and the Asharifs or the Kevins, or I'm sorry, these are people that you don't know, but these are all the people who I know that I work that I mentor and that I work with. And God is working on me through them, because he's holding me accountable for all the decisions that I make. So he's definitely working on me through them, but he's also working on me through my daughter. for those of you who have kids, I'm pretty sure you understand the looking at someone in their face, looking at your little one in the face and understanding that you have to do right for them at all times. And because of her, I can see definitely God just telling me and showing me the right way to move, the right things to do, and the person who he wants me to be.
That's an amazing answer. And I just want to thank you again, because with New City Kids, all the work that we do, it really is for the future, so that youth can realize it's now, but also it's for the future. And I just want to thank you for being willing to share now, as you know, we've moved into the future from when you were a kid, just the impact that's been there.
Of course, anytime. New City Kids has a place, a special place in my heart, as you all may know. And anytime I could just talk about the work that New City Kids has done and that it's going to continue to do, I'm all for it.
Yep. Thank you. And now we are going to get off the stage for a second.
Just humbled to have New City with us today. It's always incredible. And Sean and Greg, thank you for sharing with us. Greg, I have so much respect for you and appreciate how you love others and love your family. And it's just incredible to see the story that God is pursuing and has been pursuing in this city long before many of us got here. Many of you are here today, are from here, and it's representing this city in an amazing way. And last week we started engaging a series on God's story in us. And what an incredible way to talk about today, you know, just through this incredible story. And so it's just, as we love this city, downtown community, we believe that God, our mission here is to help people find their way back to God. And so we started 9 years ago on our own story. And my wife and I moved here 16 years ago and just in pursuing being part of new churches in the city. And he put us here in Jersey City, and it was 7 years until we got to the moment where we were able to be part of starting this church. And there's been hundreds of people who went before us and were engaging a story. And even then, we didn't know about New City. And I forget when and how, but suddenly somebody shared about it. We were like, what, really? And we just began to be engaged with that. And I don't know, you know, to be here today as a church family engaging in this way is something that, like, only God could do. And I'm not incredibly talented, and, like, I can't foresee all that, but it's his work and his story in us. And what we know is when we are faithful to what he is pursuing, when you take steps towards him and the things that you have in front of you, God can use that in an incredible way. There's something about the consistency over time. And if you knew more about New City's story in the 30 years, it wasn't easy, especially in the beginning. And what they originally started out trying to do, it didn't quite work. But God was using that to help lay the foundation for the future story. But there was obviously, you know, Greg talked about being there from the beginning. There was a lot working, even in what seemed to be hardship for them. And so God is using all of that. And so we can put this up. This is a graphic we have. And at Downtown Community, we exist to help people find our way back to God. And we see that how we live this out is we see God has started this story in us. And so he goes before us, and he is planting the seeds. Jesus, when he was with us, shared. There is one who plants the seed, and one who goes into the harvest and harvests the seeds. He says, and there's joy for both the planter and the harvester alike. And he takes joy, and he has been in his plan for us from the beginning is to send us out to be part of his mission and the story that he has been doing. And so when we join him in going out into this city and loving this city, we are discovering that he has already been there before us pursuing a story. And we want to join him with this. So as we do this, as we help people find their way back to God, we want to go. There are four steps for you. If this is your first Sunday here, there are four things over time that we would love for you to engage with us, where we go and we live this story out, and we want to do simple service, where we hand fun snacks out at the pass station, or connection events where we just have fun. We do Go Jersey City. Sean was referencing that, where we go and serve the city. One of our projects every year is to support and love New City Kids. And so we want to then love well when you come here on Sunday with the resources that we have. We want to serve you. And to love is to serve. And that's what Jesus showed us. We want to love well and then take steps. And when you take steps, it leads you to life. And that's what Jesus showed us. As we take steps towards him, it will lead us to life. And we find life through the truth that he brings in our lives. And so we teach out of the scriptures and the truth that God has given us that will lead us to life. And so if you're here today, we want to encourage you to take a step. What is your next step towards God? Maybe it's joining a dinner group. We'll be serving at the Sharing Place Food Pantry in two Thursdays from now. It's a great place to serve with us and to join us in engaging this city. And what's great is even if you just move here, you can immediately, God can be using you to make an impact. You don't have to know everything about the city, but we've been loving and serving here for years and can connect you to community and to community with others and then engaging in the city. And so we want to be part of this story. And this is why in November we do what we call Being Rich. And so you've got this card on your seat. And this month we want to challenge you to think about how you engage with your life. And we are being rich in good works, as it says in 1 Timothy. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And so I want you today to begin to think about this month, you know, what you're going to give to God through your local church here. If you're part of downtown community, some of you are here with us today that are part of your different church. So how will you give towards him? What is the percentage of what you make that you are going to give to God through his church? And so we want you to think about that. And then every year we make a commitment to give to New City Kids. And our goal is to give $5,000 to New City Kids. Now, we have exceeded that. A couple of years ago, we did this, and we immediately hit it on the first Sunday. And so we doubled our goal, and we hit that. That was really fun. Now, it would be fun if we did that again. And so you've gone above that. But we want to, it's important that you commit to your local church. And then we want to give to New City Kids by the end of the month at least $5,000. And it's critical that we engage this mission. And so what are you going to do? You need to think about this and decide this. We've got this card. And you can scan the QR code and you can log that commitment in. And so what will you do? And then, you know, for your own life, do you have a financial goal? It's good to think about. God calls us to think about and be deliberate because we want to engage the city. And then we want to serve and to love one another. Three ways: you give, you serve, and love. How will you serve this month? Join us at the Sharing Place next month. Join us in simple service. If you're an outgoing person, engaging that is a way to join God's story. When we engage in simple service, people find our church. And you will suddenly see God engaging in a story. And it's amazing. When we go out, he is faithful. There are many ways you can serve. Join a Sunday team. And then how will you love your city? How will you love your city? Do something thoughtful for someone in your city. Your neighbor. People you live around. Your coworker. Throw a party. I like to share that one. You'd be amazed how you engage with those around you. Or you can attend the New City Kids 30th anniversary celebration happening in two Thursdays from now, right? It's two Thursdays away. So my wife and I have bought tickets to that, and I want you to invite you to join me. We still have tickets available, right? Like, okay, all right, how are you going to get it? Good. So join us. That's a way to love your city. Well, quickly, last week we talked about Jesus' story with us and the story of his death, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. And we see him pursuing, and in his story with us throughout when he was here teaching, and then after his resurrection, there's something that's so incredible. One is that the people believed in him. But then he was constantly saying that I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out. And so after his resurrection, he appeared before his disciples, and this is what he said, and this is where we ended last week. He says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. This is found in John chapter 20. They were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders at the time. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. When Jesus died, he had been telling them, I'm going to die, and in 3 days I'm going to rise again. And that happened. But they were not expecting that. They were devastated. They had this whole different vision. Many of them had a political vision. They thought he was going to overthrow the Roman government and just You know, even though this is all happening, there's like something's going to happen. But then he died, and they were absolutely devastated. They were not expecting this. They were afraid. They thought that those who killed him were going to be coming after them next. They lost all hope. It was a story they were not expecting. But God was profoundly at work. This was his plan from the beginning. And just an aside, I don't know if you've heard, but there is a national election happening on Tuesday. And I hope that you are voting and you're participating in public life. But we've talked about this recently as a church, about when we look at the national picture, we think, we've been taught and we hear over and over again that when this change happens, whatever what you want to change, then we'll be okay. But that's not what God has shown us. The lives that you and I lead are profoundly important. And Jesus showed us the change comes through sacrifice and loving others. Someone who has been incredible about engaging this topic is Tim Keller, who, great pastor in New York City, recently passed away. And he said this. He says, my prayer is that we who are Christians would turn our energy and attention first and foremost to sharing the hope of Christ, living missionally in the neighborhoods, workplaces, and relationships where God has placed us. May we see how the power of Christ's love will do far more to change our culture than the gaining of political power ever could. Let us put our faith in Christ, the King of all creation. He also said that a particular group cannot, quote unquote, change the culture by taking power. This is what we think. This is what the world thinks. That power, when we have power, we'll have great change. Well, how many political leaders have promised us all kinds of things with that power, and they screwed it up? It's worldwide. We think power. When Jesus came, he was not powerful. And people think, well, I have all this knowledge, and the wisdom that he had seems so different. Yet that is what really changed the world. It was through giving his life is what changed. Keller talked about any group that simply goes after power without aiming to serve the common good will not win the hearts of society. New City Kids have been around for 30 years. That's like five presidents, I think, five or six presidents. Engaging our public life is incredibly important, but how we love and serve, the story that God is giving us, don't let that be diminished. That how you love one another is what God is using in a profound way. Your life, if you think your life is simple and not out there, God wants to use that in an incredible way. When you join and serve him, you are a part of the story that's been happening for thousands of years. I don't know what the future will bring, but I can trust in God who is leading me. And I can do that, and I have hope in that. Not hope in the circumstances changing, but hope in that because of his resurrection. Our hope goes there. And this is what happened. He was constantly saying to them, and so we'll continue with the scripture here. He appears to them. They were hopeless, and then he appeared as a resurrected Christ, just like he said he would. It says, suddenly Jesus was standing among them, and he said, peace be with you. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. Like that one, the one who was just killed, we see these scars. And he says, they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again, he said, peace be with you. And then he says this, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. His resurrection, showing he's the Son of God, hope comes into the world that not even death can defeat him. And even in our own lives, we experience the death of things, even the death of loved ones, or the hopeless, most hopeless situations. God is saying, that cannot defeat me. And he brought hope into the world. And then he continued what he had been telling them before, that I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and I am sending you to be part of this story. And so that is what they did. That is what they did. In Acts, we see this. Just a couple more scriptures, and then we'll send you out. A couple more scriptures. In Acts 2, these disciples who had just a couple of weeks earlier have been scared and afraid were suddenly standing in front of those that they were afraid of that had crucified Jesus and boldly proclaiming to them this overnight change. And Peter is speaking, and he's speaking in front of the people, many of whom were there at Jesus' pronouncement of the crucifixion that shouted for this. And he says this to the people of Israel, listen, God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles and wonders and signs through him, as you well know. So he's now following Christ's step and speaking. And he continues here. He says, but God knew what would happen. And you could go ahead to the next slide. And God knew what would happen. And his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles. It's important because this is a Jewish society. But he was like, it was everybody was part of this. And can you imagine giving this as a public speaking? Like, as you nailed him to the cross and killed him. This is not a message that I would give. Wow. They go from being afraid and locked behind locked doors to saying, you did this. He says, but God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. And then it says that Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? What does he say? In the moment of our condemnation is the very place where Jesus wants to step in and to redeem us. That's why Jesus came. And so out of this cut to the heart moment, Peter's reply is this. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. So they continue preaching for a long time, strongly urging his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Your hope is not in what is going to happen. Your hope is in Christ. And they believed. And it says here that those believed that what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. And then the church began. Just like Jesus said it would. He sent them out. And this story continues this day. And we want to be faithful to this. And so as we do this, as a church family, you are invited. If you live here, especially in downtown Jersey City, but as you engage with us, we want to encourage you to take steps. Well, if you're part of this church, what do you do? If you're new, well, today, one of your first steps can be join our welcome gathering. We have that right after the service. It'd be a 10 minutes where I just sit down and we talk through the mission, the vision of DCC, and how you can take steps. But we want to encourage you to take steps with us, to give and to serve and to love this city. And so what are steps that you can take? Well, welcome gathering and serving, join us at our sharing place. We'll be serving at the sharing place in 2 Thursdays from now. Also 2 Thursdays from now, we're going to be celebrating with New City Kids at their 30th anniversary party. There's all these places that you can take steps. And then make a commitment. This is us at the sharing place. It's a local food pantry. And we help them package food for their upcoming distribution. It's just our team. It's a great way to meet others at DCC and to love our city. And then we want you to think about making a commitment. How will you give to DCC? We are 100% supported financially by you. And then, what will you give to New City Kids this month? In the past, traditionally, only 10 to 15% of those with us have given to be part of that. Can you imagine if like 80% of you gave to be part of that? How impactful it would be. So how will we love and serve and give in this story? Because when you step into God's story, you begin to see him and his plan for you and your life and the prayers that you have be impacted and those around you. All right, let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you today for who you are, for this incredible story, for over 30 years. God, I thank you for the hope that we have in you, that we know that you are going to continue to work in us, no matter the circumstance. I pray that we would be consistent in loving our city, loving you, and loving your church family. God, I pray that we would be obedient this month in giving to you and serving you in many ways. We thank you, Father, and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.